Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? What are you in training for? This week I was at Camp Allen, our diocesan camp, for a meeting of the executive board, which carries on the work of our council between our annual meetings. For those of you who don't know, Episcopal churches are organized into things called dioceses that are headed by a bishop. And so, you know, the way that some people solve problems of distance now with video screens and whatever else, the ancient church solved by bishops appointing priests to go lead churches in their area. So this chair right over here against the far wall, that is the bishop's chair. So in a real sense, I am the associate pastor of this church, this one big church that goes all the way from the Gulf of Mexico to the Red River, this Episcopal Diocese of Texas. So this executive board meets to carry on the council of all the churches in between. And around a table with clergy over lunch, I ask the question, what have you been learning recently? Another way of asking, what are you in training for? And the question seemed to take people by surprise. We all feel like we're behind, don't we? Like we don't measure up. To be asked what you're learning is not to be asked how far behind you are, but to be asked how far or how much you've grown and how you've been growing recently. Someone around the table had been in training for learning to rest, another for saying no, another for play. We are all in training for something. God is calling us forward. What are you in training for? Be focusing today on our second lesson, that lesson from the letter of Peter. St. Peter tells his audience in our lesson today, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God, sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter wants his audience to come to Jesus, to allow God to work in their lives and to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Peter invites them into training for God's royal priesthood. But people have refused to enter this training. And in so doing, they have rejected God himself. Peter says that Jesus, the living stone, was rejected by mortals. He came to his own, and his own knew him not. This living stone, for those who do not come to Jesus, is a stone that the builders rejected, a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. When offered the chance to step into the light, to join God's people, they rejected it when they hung Jesus from the tree. When offered the chance to join Jesus in training for this priesthood, they turned aside. And in so doing, they rejected God himself. And even though we don't mean to, we sometimes reject God's offer too. God wants us to train for his priesthood, but we balk at coming to Jesus. We don't want to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house, this holy priesthood. We feel weird when we think about offering spiritual sacrifices as though our Christianity weren't a calling to something deeper than just having a nice pick-me-up on a Sunday morning. And I think for many of us human beings, there was within us an intermixed feeling of fear and pride. There's fear on the one hand. What's Jesus going to do to me if I decide to let him build me into a spiritual house? What will I have to give up? What will I have to change? What might I have to sacrifice? And that fear bubbles into and buttresses a sense of defensive pride. You know what? I really am okay by myself. I can do my spirituality by myself. It really is okay to participate in the church's life only when it's convenient for me. I can do it by myself, after all. Jesus wants me to be happy, right? And surely I'm the expert on what that means. This all seems reasonable to us in our consumer culture. Surely the church is just another consumer product that I can participate in as I will. It's just here to affirm me where I am, right? Our fear and our pride trap us. They keep us from growing. Because in refusing to join Christ in training for his priesthood, just like those in Peter's day, we have rejected the offer put in front of us. But does this rejection stop God? No, absolutely not. In spite of humanity's rejection of God, God chooses a royal priesthood anyway. Who are Peter's hearers? They have been baptized into Christ's body, the church. Peter says all kinds of things about them. They are newborn infants longing for pure spiritual milk. They are a spiritual house erected to give glory to God. They are a royal priesthood who offers spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, they have been set aside for a royal purpose, to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Peter writes, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In spite of people rejecting God, in Jesus Christ, God chose a royal priesthood. And, sisters and brothers, he hasn't stopped. He has chosen you too. Out of the peoples of the earth, he has chosen you. Out of the people of Waco, he has chosen you. He has selected you to join Jesus in training for his priesthood. You have a purpose, a vocation, a calling. And how do we live it? First, you come to Jesus, as Peter says, the stone that the builders rejected. You enter Jesus' family through holy baptism. You make a habit of coming to church, not because you have to, but because you're in training to be God's priest in the world. Second, you allow God to work in your life. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, Peter writes. Allowing God to work in your life goes beyond Sunday worship. It extends to service. It extends to stewardship. It extends to intentional spiritual formation. You are in training for God's priesthood when you worship weekly, serve regularly, give generously, and allow yourselves to be shaped in a life of prayer. Third, as God's priest, you offer spiritual sacrifices. Priests have two roles. First, they face God on behalf of the people. So that's facing this way, right? This is what we did kind of at the beginning of the service as we were praying together. And then I was saying things to you. First, priests face God on behalf of the people. And when you come to worship, you face God on behalf of the people in your life. The Bible has this idea that Christians have been set aside as priests to offer the praises and prayers of the entire world to God. So when you come and when you offer your praise and thanksgiving, when you offer your prayers for the people in your life, you are bringing them along with you. And not only that, we are the priests who bring to voice the praises of the creation itself. So that tree in your backyard that you love, that spot in Cameron Park that is yours, when you come into this space as God's priest, you bring that space's prayers and praises to God as well. You offer the sacrifice of praise. You bring the concerns and cares of your neighbors and offer them before God. You pray for the world and on its behalf. Priests face God on behalf of others. But they also face others on behalf of God. When you leave worship today, that is what you will be doing. You will bring good news, encourage, equip. You introduce people to friendship with Jesus. You invite people back to church so that they too can come to Jesus, allow God to work in their lives, and offer spiritual sacrifices themselves. So what are you training for? If you are baptized, you are already enrolled in training for this priesthood. Not necessarily to be an ordained priest like me. We believe in the Episcopal Church that priesthood belongs to the whole church, and the whole church sets aside a few to lead in this kind of service and worship. So maybe not to be an ordained priest like me, but to serve as a priest for and on behalf of the people in your life. After church today, we're going into the parish hall. We're going to talk about what's next for us at Holy Spirit. This is a very special kind of training exercise for God's priesthood in Waco. So I invite you to join us, even if this is your first Sunday. Keep training with us, and let's look ahead to see what God will do in us and for Waco next. So when you intentionally enter training for God's priesthood, you get to taste and see that the Lord is good more regularly. You see Jesus more and more day after day as the way, the truth, and the life. You offer sacrifices that please God. You can live your life without shame, Peter says. And you are able to proclaim God's good news with boldness. You can own who you are. Part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You can experience deep down that you are God's. And that God loves you more than you can love yourself. And you can be sent to share that love with the world. God has chosen you. You are a priest in training. So keep showing up and join us after church as we eat and pray and discern together. Let's keep training as God's royal priests to share his blessing and love with our worlds. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.